Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
I want to go through some of the offensive numbers for the Kansas City Royals. Let me tell you that lately things have been kind of lean for the boys in blue. Rob, over the course of the last couple of weeks, nobody has been hitting for this team. Everybody is down right now. Even Bobby Witt Jr. is a little bit down offensively for this team right now. You know what they really, really need right now? They really, really could use Vinny Pasquantino. If this team misses the postseason, which it is a possibility, like I'm not here to scare you, but when you've lost 15 of your last 22 games and your second best offensive player went down and you were in scramble mode when Robbie Grossman was your cleanup hitter in a must-win game, you are scrambling to try to find something offensively to get things going. The line of demarcation for the Royals is going to be the injury to Vinny Pasquantino. Right now, he would be somebody that could carry you offensively if a couple of guys were not playing well and could kind of get you through this stretch. Since Bobby Witt Jr. hit the grand slam, the Royals have scored 5 runs in their last 25 innings. Like, they have picked the absolute worst time for them to get cold and go on a little bit of a slump. And there is no crying now over spilled milk. No one is going to feel bad for you. Injuries happen over the course of the season. Aaron Judge has missed some time. Juan Soto has missed some time. Other teams that are in this competition, Minnesota in the very beginning of the season, they were super banged up. Houston was banged up at the very beginning of the year. No one is going to feel bad for the Royals that this injury has happened. But if you want to find where the season kind of took a turn and they have been unable to overcome it, the pitching has not been the problem. This team just hasn't been scoring enough runs lately to consistently win, Rob.
Yeah, the problem is I know the problem, but I don't know the solution, because Vinny Pasquantino is not walking back through that door. He's done for the regular season. And I remember when this injury came out, the hope was if the Royals are in the ALCS, he could feasibly return. Let's not worry about the ALCS, ALDS. Let's get to the wild card round first. And there are 9 games left, and he's not part of the solution. So when you look at what's happening now at the Royals, MJ Melendez in a slump. Bobby Witt Jr., based on his own incredible talent, is in a relative slump. You're seeing other players slump all at the same time. Michael Massey isn't playing his best baseball. It kind of reminds me, do you remember when they were in that 7-game losing streak? And we talked about how basically every player on the roster went into a slump at the exact same time. If I want to be glass half full, I can tell you, well, they all came out of their slump at the end of that 7 games. They got hot, too. They then won, I think, 5 of their next 7, maybe 6 of their next 8. They came out of that streak hot. Maybe the Royals are about to turn a corner, but this last series against the Tigers really highlighted some offensive woes, because it was Bobby getting the big hit on Monday, and then it was nothing Tuesday, and Colt Reagans gave them every opportunity to win on Tuesday. They couldn't push across a second run. And then Wednesday, it felt like the minute it became 4-1, it was over. I know the Royals got another run, and they had another couple opportunities with people on base, but it felt like 5 was some insurmountable number. And the offense, it has holes. It's clearly missing Pasquantino, but we've seen it do some scoring with the way it's set up now. They need to get back to a little bit better offense, and I think they can beat a bad Giants team, a really bad Nationals team in the next 6 games before you're kind of staring down the barrel of the Braves. But if the offenses continue to be woeful, the Royals will be watching the postseason at home.
I mean, I think that's the saving grace if you're looking down the stretch and you're looking for, all right, I know it's been rough, but the Royals have an off day. They cannot lose today. if you are looking for sort of the silver lining of, are the Royals going to be able to hold on to this thing? I mean, you can't really craft, I would say, a better end of season than they have. Now, you have to play the Braves. At some point, you got to beat good teams. Now, the Braves are 82-70, so it's not like they're some world beater team. They're kind of what you are. But San Francisco is under 500. You got them at home over the next 3 days. You play the Washington Nationals. The Nationals are 68-84. If the Royals miss the postseason, it will be their own doing. You play two of your final three series against teams that have no playoff aspirations, and all they can do is play spoiler to you. And one of those teams, the Nationals, they have been out of it for the last 3 months of it. So you got an opportunity here where we have been saying this phrase so much, you just have to tread water. And for the most part, they have done a really good job treading water when they need to do it. They have to tread water one more time. You can't go 2-7 over these final nine games. If you go 2-7, you are not making the postseason. Can you go 5-4? Can you go 4-5? If you win five games, you are for sure in the postseason. It will be, even with how good the Tigers have played, they have to finish with a better record than you, because if you finish with the same record, you are going to have the tiebreaker over them. And I believe you have the tiebreaker over Minnesota, if I remember correctly. So you just have to win five of your next nine games. You should be able to do that when your next six are against teams that have a losing record. This is the control your own destiny. This is control your own destiny, and you got Pittsburgh and you got Carolina at the end of it. Bro, if you lose those two games, you deserve to miss the postseason. You had every opportunity to make it.
In that same vein, if we're going to play the schedule game, you're right. The Royals' schedule is very advantageous. The Twins have Boston, who was in the playoff hunt until probably last week. The Marlins, who are not very good. And they have the Orioles to end the year.
That's so kind of like what your schedule is.
I would say the Orioles are probably better than anyone on the Royals'
for
schedule.
Sure.
That's maybe Atlanta 6-1. Detroit has at Baltimore, the Rays, who are hovering around 500.
Basically they were in what the Giants are.
Exactly.
Yeah, basically
and then they have the White Sox. So the next six games is advantageous for the Royals, because to end the season, the Twins are against the Orioles and the Tigers are against the White Sox, who are trending toward history, and you have the Braves. By the time the show airs next Thursday, there's a day game next Thursday, we should know if the Royals are a playoff team or not. By going into that Braves series, you should have a pretty good feeling. But I also say, Royals fans this time last week were actively cheering against the Orioles because they wanted to catch that first wild card spot. If you want to feel safe, put on a Baltimore hat this week, because if they can keep the Twins losing and if they can, you know, squelch the Tigers' hot streak, then that helps just as much. Because the magic number is not just Royals wins, it's Royals wins plus Tigers losses. It's at the date. If the Tigers lose a series of the O's this weekend, that changes the calculus by Monday's show.
I think that's what has made this so more disappointing is, I mean, Baltimore was right there for the taking. Baltimore has 85 wins right now. Baltimore probably wins, what, 88 games, we think? 89 games? You had a chance to catch Baltimore. Baltimore is 3-7 in their last 10. Baltimore has not been good. I still maintain that's the team that you really want to play in the wild card race. I guess you would also play Minnesota. You know them very well. It's going to be a tightly contested series. You probably would be a dog to Minnesota. You struggled at times against them, but you won the series that you really needed to win against them. So that's going to be a coin flip kind of series. It's not just the fact that you are losing ground to the Tigers, a team in your division. It is the fact that you really had a chance to host those three games against the Baltimore Orioles. They have completely left the door open for you to walk through, and you just refused to walk through it. You've had an opportunity to be the number one wild card team, and you have blown it. There's very little chance that you can do this right now. You will not be the number one wild card. It is about holding on to just make sure that you either get that two spot or that three spot. But I think you are in a position where you should be able to hold off both Minnesota and Detroit. There's no reason for you to now finish fourth in your division, not with how good you've been this entire season.
Can I ask you a question? We're up against a break. Considering where the Royals were at the All-Star break and where they were all season, and they have skid down the stretch, is just making the wild card round but not hosting going to feel like a disappointment because it was there for the taking? Or do we take a step back and look at the scope and say, if they still made it, roaring success? Or are we going to get mired in the fact that, boy, they could have been hosting these games if they're playing in 2 weeks in the postseason?
Yeah, I'm not going to do that. I can't speak for how other people are going to do it. Just get into the dance. I mean, they've never had the number one wild card spot. I hear what you're saying, that it was there for the taking. It's one thing that you've had the number one wild card spot this entire time and then you've lost it. You've always been playing from behind. You've always been playing catch up. I think we've known now for 3 months that the most likely scenario is that the Royals were going to go on the road and play the team that finished in second place in the American League East. Now, it ended up being a lot closer than you thought it was going to be, but they've never been in control when it comes to the wild card picture and been the best team. Now, it's very simple. Make the dance. I don't care if you're the second team or the third team. Figure out a way to be one of the top seven teams in the American League. You have been that now for 150 games. Finish it out and make sure you make the playoffs. And when you get there, you reset your rotation. You got Reagans in one. You got Lugo in two. And then you'll figure it out from there. But you got to give yourself an opportunity to make the ALDS. We'll bounce back and forth between the Royals and the Chiefs all day. Coming up on the other side, let's get back to football. This is the start of week three. We'll go through some of the top storylines, and we'll also head to Atlanta to get you ready for Sunday Night Football. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
Welcome back to the show. My name is Carrington Harrison. Rob Brenton is here. Happy to be here with you up until 6 o'clock. We got a full 4 hours today because the Royals are off. They're in a little bit of a timeout. Trust me, they need a timeout. If you missed it earlier today, I tried to play Apollo Creed for the Kansas City Royals and I tried to give them this speech. You guys remember in Rocky 3, Rocky, things wasn't going so good. Rocky needed some motivation. He wasn't listening to Adrian. He wasn't listening to anybody. Eventually, Apollo Creed had enough.
Damn, Rock, come on! What's the matter with you?
Tomorrow. Let's do it tomorrow.
There is no tomorrow! There is no tomorrow! There is no tomorrow!
Eventually, Rocky Balboa had to find the eye of the tiger. That's what the Royals need to do. They got to find the eye of the tiger. I don't know what happened. They had it at one point. They have lost the eye of the tiger. There is no tomorrow. There is no, oh, you guys are overreacting. It's just one game. No. The Royals have 9 games left. They need to figure out a way to win 5 of them. If they figure out a way to win 5, then they are making the postseason. Anything less than five, they continue to put themselves in danger of outright missing the postseason. The Twins are nipping on their heels. The Tigers are the hottest team in baseball. They have won seven of their last nine, and the Royals are ice cold right now. You have to figure out a way to take care of business. Coming up in about 5 minutes, we're going to head to Atlanta and be joined by Carl Dukes. He covers the Falcons. But before we do that, it is a new week in the NFL. We got Jets. We got Patriots. Why don't we have a little bit of a reset, and we will take a look at some of the most important storylines as we head into week three.
Carrington, let's start with maybe the most important game on the schedule in week three, Cowboys and Ravens.
Really big game for both teams.
I'm going to say the Cowboys are coming off an absolute throttling at the hands of the New Orleans Saints. And I don't need to tell you or tell Kansas City, the Ravens are winless. Who is this game more important to? Is it Big D getting back to winning ways, or the Ravens need to get off the schneid with their first dub?
Rob, I'm going to tell you this because I love you. Don't ever say Big D on this show ever again, all right?
CD just call him, is big and Big D, baby.
Call them the Cowboys, Dallas, Jerry's team. Please don't ever refer to them as Big D on this show again. That is, I'm docking your pay. You've been fined here. Flag on the play. That's a 15-yard penalty. All right, let's get back to serious things. It has to be the Ravens. The Cowboys have a win. The Ravens don't have a win. The Ravens, if the Vegas lines play to what they are and the Steelers take care of business at home against the Chargers, you're telling me you can be three games out of the lead in your division if you're the Baltimore Ravens? No, the Ravens need this game way more. They had a gimme, an absolute gimme. Dallas just ran into a buzzsaw, and the Saints are way better than we thought they were going to be, potentially. That is not what we think about the Las Vegas Raiders. No, that was a Baltimore Ravens problem. So if you're asking me, who is this game more important for? Who needs to win? The answer is clear to me. It's Baltimore. You can't fall to 0-3. The percentages, once you 0-2, and then you go to 0-3, yikes. Uphill battle the entire time.
Speaking of Dallas, one of the teams that beat them was the New Orleans Saints. They are a surprise 2-0 team. Also, the Minnesota Vikings are a surprise 2-0 team.
I already told you, I'm taking the Vikings on the money line. I don't need the 2.5. I'm taking the Vikings on the money line. I'm also going to take the Saints
on
the money line, too.
So you got them both at 3-0.
I think both of them are going to win this. Did you see the numbers? And let me pull it up here really quickly. Did you see the numbers of what Jalen Hurts is with A.J. Brown in the lineup as opposed to when A.J. Brown is out? All right, here it is. Jalen Hurts with A.J. Brown is 28-8. He averages around 240 passing yards. Without A.J. Brown, the Eagles are 12-20-1, and Jalen Hurts averages 148 yards passing. He is a drastically different quarterback when A.J. Brown is not there. So A.J. Brown isn't here, and you got to go on the road to New Orleans with how they're playing right now. I think both teams win. I think the Saints are winning, and I also think Minnesota's winning.
Speaking of that NFC South, let's talk about the one team that no one wants to talk about in that division, the Carolina Panthers. They are making a change at quarterback. The former first overall pick, 18 games into his career. You're out of here. See you later, alligator. Bryce Young benched. What do you think Bryce Young's career is now that he is benched in Carolina two games into a new regime? Is he ever find that starting role again? Is he ever a starter in the league again?
I mean, it's either two things have to happen. Either Andy Dalton has to get hurt and then they don't have a choice. They go back to him. Or Andy Dalton is just as bad as Bryce Young was, which seems really hard to do because he was that bad. And you were just... If we're going to lose anyway, we might as well throw the young guy out there. I think that Carolina is going to get a boost. We've seen this story before, right? Raiders go on the road, get a win they're not supposed to. They're now kind of heavy favorites, 5.5, 6-point favorites, and everybody thinks that the Raiders are going to win. The Raiders have inconsistent quarterback play just like the rest of the NFL. They shouldn't be a 6-point favorite over anybody. I think Carolina gets a boost. I think Carolina is, I think they cover. I think they have a chance to win.
I mean, is this just Carolina misevaluated quarterback?
Yes.
Dramatic? I mean, we were both CJ Stroud people, but I thought Bryce Young was...
I thought he had a chance to be good. Yeah, I did think so.
This is real bad. I mean, 18 games into his career and he's done. It's just...
Oof. It ain't good. No, it is not good. There's no denying that. That's not good.
Speaking of quarterback Carrington, our final storyline heading into a massive Sunday in the NFL, Jordan Love is practicing again. Hey. I mean, thoughts and reports were this could be a long injury after his problem in Sao Paulo, but now he's practicing. Do you believe Love returns this week? And a little add-on, if he does, the Packers return to that top-of-the-tier NFC team you had them preseason.
You know, I was very high on Green Bay. Very impressive win for them to do it. I don't think Jordan Love is going to play. I do think he comes back next week. They have the Vikings next week, so that could be a really important game, a divisional matchup. No, I don't think that Jordan Love comes back this week. I think it's kind of what Andy Reid would do. He practices this week. It's a game time decision to make you think about it. They're going to hold him out, and they're going to start Malik Willis one more week. I do expect Jordan Love to be back next week against the Minnesota Vikings. Let's head to the phone lines right now to be joined by our guest. His name is Carl Dukes. He is with 92.9 The Game in Atlanta. Carl, happy to have you join us on the show today. All right. I do want to get to Sunday Night Football, but let's go back to Monday Night Football. What happened? Did Atlanta win the game or did Philadelphia lose?
Carrington, look, the Falcons could have easily choked this thing away. They got the ball back with plenty of time. They could have not executed during the two-minute drill there. Kirk Cousins could have threw a pick. There could have been drops. That didn't happen. They went and earned this win, and they went and took this win from the Eagles. That's not to say Nick Sirianni didn't screw his team, and certainly, you know, they didn't do some things as far as executing, including that drop ball by Saquon. But there's no doubt in anybody's mind, the Falcons, and in fact, if you ask Falcon fans, many of them were waiting for that to happen. They were waiting for the other ball to drop once we got the ball back, and that didn't happen. Cousins put on his cape and took him to victory. So the Falcons definitely earned the victory.
It feels like to me that the drive that we saw from Kirk Cousins in the game, he played really well, completed 70% of his passes, threw for 240 yards, two touchdowns, didn't throw an interception. It feels like if the Falcons needed any validation for their decision to go out and spend the big money to go get Kirk Cousins, you don't win that game with Michael Penix leading that drive. You win it with an experienced quarterback like Kirk Cousins taking you down the field.
No doubt about it. And Penix will get his time. He looked great in camp, but camp is not, you know, the real games. And I think that is total validation for everybody who said, what are they doing? Why are they going to give him $100 million, $180 million over 4 years or whatever it looks like? The bottom line is, I think Cousins, it was his moment to say, I'm fine. Everybody questioned his health, Carrington, after week one, specifically what they did offensively and how limited they were. The offense looked predictable. The Steelers were able to get after him because of his lack of mobility. All of that changed against the Eagles. He was under center. There was play action. He was in the shotgun. He was showing you that he's perfectly fine after this Achilles injury, and I think that was a big step for a lot of Falcon fans to see that as well. And then he executed the drive to score and win the game.
Right now we're talking to Carl Dukes. He does afternoon in Atlanta for 92.9 The Game, taking a closer look at Week 3, Chiefs and Falcons on Sunday Night Football. Let's focus in on the run game and the running backs for the Atlanta Falcons. When you spend a top 10 pick on a running back like Bijan Robinson, you expect to get exactly what they've gotten from the second-year running back out of Texas. He was described as a can't-miss prospect. That is exactly what he's been in his first year and a half in the league.
He is a can't-miss, and part of that has to do with his makeup. Carrington, he's a hell of a human being, right, beyond the football stuff. And we always hear GMs talk about this, right? We want the right guys in the building. Bijan is just a gentle soul man who treats people with respect. He's kind. Like, that doesn't mean anything as far as, like, winning football games, but he's the kind of dude that you want to be around and you want, you know, your daughter to marry. He's that kind of individual. Now, from a football standpoint, physically gifted, can do all the things. And I've shared this, you know, with people that I've spoken with. Bijan told me during the offseason, he watched every tape that he could of Christian McCaffrey. And I said, why? And he said, because I think that's how they're going to attempt to use me. And I'll be damned, Carrington, that's exactly what they're doing. They're hitting him quick hitters, screens. He's getting the ball in the backfield, stretch runs. They're doing all that stuff, and he is capable of being that good. He is not Christian McCaffrey yet, but he has the ability to do that, and I think you saw glimpses of that in that Eagles game in week 2.
I think there's a lot of optimism around this Falcons team because you got the weapons. We just mentioned Bijan Robinson. You got Tyler Allgeier. And then you look at that wide receiver room. Ray-Ray McCloud has almost 100 yards receiving through the first two games. Darnell Mooney had a great game on Monday Night Football. Drake London scored the game-winning touchdown. They spent the top five pick on a tight end in Kyle Pitts. It's not just the run game and Bijan Robinson's versatility. There's three or four legitimate pass catchers on this Falcons offense.
Yeah, and I think part of, you know, the non-recognition of the guys you're talking about, obviously Darnell just got here as a free agent acquisition, but a part of Drake London's deal is he hadn't had a quarterback the last 2 years to get him the rock the way he needed it. I mean, he's got one now. Drake London is, and I think will be, a top 10 receiver in this league, hands down. Kyle Pitts, you talk about his ability, you know, 6'5", runs like a deer, but they just didn't have a quarterback. And, you know, you go back to Pitts' rookie year, Matt Ryan's last year here, he had 1,000 yards. Kyle Pitts showed you what he was capable of, and the injuries have plagued him the last couple of seasons. But to your point about Ray-Ray McCloud and Darnell Mooney, those two guys, if they're able to continue at this pace and certainly give the Falcons those additional weapons for Kirk Cousins, this offense is very dangerous. And Kirk's talked about it all offseason, and everybody's kind of went, yeah, because nobody really believed that Ray-Ray McCloud or Darnell Mooney would have that kind of impact. Ray-Ray and Darnell have the ability to take the top off the defense, and you know, watching obviously all those years of the Cheetah and now with my man from Texas, Xavier Worthy, you got to have that element, and the Falcons didn't have that the last few years.
Right now we're talking to Carl Dukes at us afternoons in Atlanta for a couple more minutes here, getting his thoughts on Chiefs and Falcons week 3. We've spoken a lot about the offense. What about the defense? You got to go up against Patrick Mahomes. You mentioned Xavier Worthy, Travis Kelce on this offense. There's weapons on this Chiefs teams too. How do you think Atlanta's defense matches up with Kansas City's offense?
So, Carrick, and I asked that question yesterday to Raheem Morse, and he kind of laughed because the reality is nobody's figured out Patrick Mahomes, right? I mean, nobody. You got to have a little luck. You got to hope he throws it to you at some point. And the other side of that is, you know, no Isaiah Pacheco. And I said that to him, and he said, that doesn't matter. The Big Red, the Chiefs will find a way to move the football and get in scoring position. I think more than anything, the fact that the Falcons have been as stout as they have been against the run, especially against these first two teams, you know, in the Steelers and the Eagles, they kept these teams out of the end zone, man. And I think that's something that you think about and you say, okay, maybe, you know, Patrick's going to get his yards. He's going to do what he does. But if we can attempt to slow down the run, maybe we make it a little bit more difficult on Mahomes. And that's all he said. You know, like there's no secret. Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback and the best player in the NFL, and that's why he's done what he's done. I think they go into this game and they attempt to stop the run, slow the run, and then hopefully create some turnovers, because they know that they're up against it on Sunday against the best in the business.
You made a little bit of a joke early when we started this conversation about Atlanta taking care of business. I don't think you understand that your stadium is about to be taken over. Like, I would prepare for, like, a Cowboys-level takeover, a Steelers-level takeover. I hope you know that stadium is going to be, like, 60% Chiefs fans.
Well, I'll tell you this, and that wouldn't surprise me. I mean, obviously, you know, back-to-back world champs, going for an unprecedented third. Chiefs fans travel. We know the deal. But I will tell you that Falcon fans are excited, too. And the excitement comes from not just the win on Monday night, but it comes from a buildup of a lot of things that are in place that you've talked about that we're discussing here. Having a quarterback, having weapons, having the potential of an exciting offense. The defense is much better than anybody expected. I feel like this is going to be a fun, entertaining game. And Carrington, I you know, what is it, 3 points? I think this is going to be a 3-point game. I don't think this is going to be a blowout by either team.
This was one of the games, Carl, that before the season I asked the question, hey, if I give you $1 million, tell me the Chiefs' first loss. I think I would have picked the Falcons game on the road, Sunday Night Football. This game doesn't mean anything from a tiebreaker perspective for either team because it's an AFC versus NFC matchup. It's Sunday Night Football. It's in a dome. It's loud. Atlanta coming off a motivational win on the road on Monday Night Football. This is a really dangerous spot for Kansas City.
Yeah, and that's, I think, how we see it here. But, again, I would be an idiot to dismiss what we're facing. And, you know, Travis Kelce, to say Travis Kelce's off to a slow start is an understatement. But this is the kind of game where Travis Kelce shows up and Swifty's in the box upstairs and he goes off for 3 touchdowns. That's the danger in believing everything that you just said. I do think the Falcons will compete. It will be a close game. As far as the outcome, this is really going to come down to, I believe, the Falcons getting stops in the red zone. And, you know, the Chiefs have not been red zone gangbusters this year. I mean, they are 5 trips to the red zone. I think they've converted 2 at 40%, same as the Falcons. So I'm not saying that they're the same team, but success in that area I think is going to dictate this game. And it sounds simplistic, but only because both of these teams have struggled down there, at least to start the season.
Carl, to ask you a Atlanta-specific question, who do you see as the favorite right now in the NFC South? The Saints have gotten off to a great start. Tampa Bay, until otherwise, they've been kind of the kings of the division for the last handful of years. Atlanta has taken a big step forward. It feels like you have 3 teams that are all jumbled up and can make a strong case for winning this division. Who do you consider to be the favorite?
Well, you know, before the season started, everybody was saying, because this division has had the topsy-turvy thing where nobody's won the division year after year, right? There's been no dominant team. 1 year it's the Saints. For the last 2, it's been the Bucs. Obviously, when Brady was there, they go to Super Bowl. You have to give respect to the Bucs, but I felt like a lot of people said, oh, well, you know what? What Baker Mayfield did, I gotta see him follow that up. So a lot of people, just with getting Kirk Cousins here, there was a lot of excitement about the Falcons being the favorite. And I think around the country, a lot of sports books said, hey, the Falcons will probably win this division. After the first 2 weeks, you'd be remiss to not say the Saints may be totally into this and maybe the front runners, specifically with the way that they've scored points and the offense looks. But I still believe when it's all said and done, and the Falcons, by the way, they get the Chiefs Sunday. And then, you know, we talked about these 4 games, Steelers, Eagles, Chiefs, and then the Saints come in here. And that is a huge rivalry, Carrington, that I don't believe a lot of people around the country are aware of. It is 2 cities that are similar but very different, but culturally intertwined. And there is a huge rivalry, and it has been for many years in this NFC South, even when both teams have been bad. When both teams are really good, like when Breeze and Matt Ryan were here, it's there's something about it. My point is, I still think the Falcons will win this division. I know they don't look like the front runners right now with the way the Saints have played and certainly the Bucs, but I still believe that they will ultimately win this division when it's all said and done.
Carl, give me your Chiefs win if scenario. Give me your Falcons win if scenario.
Chiefs win if Travis Kelce has a Travis Kelce kind of day and the Chiefs are successful on the ground running the football without Isaiah Pacheco. The Falcons win if Bijan Robinson has over 100 yards in this game, and I also think that the defense holds Kansas City to under 25 points. If those things happen, Falcons win. If those things happen for the Chiefs, I think that the Chiefs probably are victorious.
That is Carl Dukes joining us on the show today. He is with 92.9 The Game out in ATL. Anytime we're talking Falcons, anytime we're talking Braves, there's only one person to go to. It's Carl Dukes holding it down in the ATL. Carl, man, great stuff, man. I think we're all excited about a fun Sunday night.
It's going to be great, man. I appreciate you as always. You keep killing it and crushing it, brother. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. That's Carl Dukes joining us on the show today to take a closer look at the Atlanta Falcons. I think this is a really dangerous spot for Kansas City. I think you knew that when the schedule came out. On the road, Sunday night football, certainly a lot of optimism around Atlanta. You could just kind of feel it. Atlanta has some weapons. They have a top 5 running back room, I think, with Bijan Robinson and Tyler Allgeier, who is a more than capable running back, who's run 4,000 yards in his career, a guy that can catch the ball out of the backfield. They got a bunch of weapons on the outside, Drake London, Kyle Pitts, Darnell Mooney. That's a team that I think is capable of, I don't want to call it an upset. It's early on in the season and they are the underdogs, but Atlanta can win this football game against the Kansas City Chiefs. All right, coming up on the other side, speaking of Atlanta, it is time to play a game. We haven't played a game on this show in quite some time. We need one caller, 913-586-7965, 913-586-7965. Rob, I actually don't think that we've played a game outside of Royals Price is Right since we've been on 96.5 The Fan. We are going to play a special game. So if you know your football, you are the perfect person to play this game. If you win, we'll give you a pizza. If not, we're going to hang up on you. That's just how this show rolls. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Ladies and gentlemen, he's feeling it.
I am champion dot.
You never know when it's going to happen, but it's always your chance to win. Here's another edition of C-Dot's Trivia Minigame on The Drive.
All right, we're going to play a very simple game. We'll get back to the Royals coming up at the top of the hour. The rules of the game are very simple. The Chiefs are playing the Falcons. I want you to name the quarterbacks from the one that they have right now, Kirk Cousins, dating all the way back to Michael Vick. Since Michael Vick's last game as the Falcons quarterback, they have had 10 different individuals start for them at QB. You are going to play this game up against Drew Nixon. This is his first time actually playing this quarterback game. We'll see how many Falcons quarterbacks he can name. So we got Brian on the phone line. We're going to give him, what, 30 seconds? As many quarterbacks as you can name since Michael Vick's last start up until Kirk Cousins' first start 2 weeks ago against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Brian, do you understand the rules to the game?
Yes, sir.
All right, we're going to give you 30 seconds here. Don't be nervous. On your mark, get set, go.
Matt Ryan, Chris Chandler, Chris Miller, Matt Schaub. Mike Vick. That's all I got.
All right, Brian. All right, you know what? I appreciate that. I'm going to put you on hold here. No need to waste the rest of the 30 seconds. He tapped out. He said, that's all I got. He named Matt Schaub. That is correct. Matt Ryan is also correct. Chris Chandler, that was before Michael Vick. He led them to the Super Bowl back in 1998. So he got two of the 10 quarterbacks for the Atlanta Falcons. He didn't even get the one that started last year for the Atlanta Falcons. But you know what? That's fine. Let's hear how Drew Nixon did. I don't know how he did. I have not heard this yet. Rob has heard it. Rob, can you hit it? Can we hear how Drew did in the Falcons quarterback game?
Matt Ryan, Desmond Ridder. Man, this is tough. Man, I'm not good at this, am I?
No. No.
I am stumped. I'm Matt Ryan. He played for a long time.
Matt Ryan did play for a long time. All right, Brian, since it was a tie, I'm going to give you one clue to a quarterback. I'm going to see if you can name him. This quarterback was a Heisman Trophy winner. He played at Oregon. He also was on the television show Netflix Quarterback. If you can tell me who that is, I'll give you the pizza. If not, I'm hanging up on you.
Hold on 1 second. I'm thinking.
Nah, you cheating, Brian. No, I know you were cheating. You can't say hold on. No, I got to hang up on you. You were about to cheat.
You needed to cheat on Marcus Mariota? Heisman, Oregon?
I was about to let the text line try to guess it. All right, let me give you the Falcons quarterbacks, and then we'll move on. They have had 10 quarterback starts since Michael Vick's last start. These are the names. Doug Johnson, Kurt Kitner. I've never heard of that man before. Doug Johnson, Kurt Kitner, Matt Schaub, Joey Harrington, Chris Redman, Byron Leftwich, Matt Ryan, Marcus Mariota, Desmond Ridder, and Taylor Heineke. Those are the 10 starting quarterbacks that have played between Michael Vick's time in Atlanta and now the Kirk Cousins era. That Desmond Ridder era, that lasted about 15 minutes. He was not the starting quarterback of Atlanta for a whole lot of time. Goodness gracious. This is sad. Now, Matt Ryan, you did have some stability at the position for a long time. Guy won MVP.
Went to a Super Bowl.
The Matt Ryan time was good. Outside of that, boy, it was bad. It was bad for Atlanta. It was bad.
I mean, I'm going to say this. Do you think if we played the Chiefs game, if we played, you know, Green to Mahomes, I think it would look similar. I think there'd be a lot of woof.
It's a lot of bad. It's a lot of bad. I've asked you this question before, but now is a great time to ask you this question. A lot of you are planning on going down to Atlanta. My mom, for example, she just went to, she flew down there earlier this morning. She's really excited for her weekend. She's going to the game, you know, hanging out, you know, doing the Chiefs away game thing. Rob, what's white Atlanta?
It's either Nashville or Austin.
I think it's more Nashville than Austin.
The thing is, Nashville is so much. Nashville's just Southern Vegas. Like, I think it's Nashville, but Nashville has a lot of like late night. We're drinking all night. We're partying. The bars are emptying out. Like, you know, there's no rules. There's one street. I think it's more Southern Vegas than it is white Atlanta.
See, this is why I would argue that it's Nashville, because the music is also a part of it with Atlanta, too. And
fair.
The music is so intertwined into what Nashville is. Now, that's also the case for Austin. I think Austin has more live music venues than any other city in America, like per capita and all those things. So I would certainly listen to it. It's either one of those two for white Atlanta. Have you ever been to Atlanta before?
I've never been to Atlanta, no.
I've only been to Atlanta one time. They have a very famous saying that the best athletes in Atlanta, they work in the, you know.
Did James Harden tell you that quote?
That's what they say. That's what the locals say. That this is where you go to see the best athletes in the city. You know how the Royals, you know, like Kansas City, like their relationship with the Royals? That's kind of how Atlanta is with the Hawks.
Really?
They like the Hawks if they're good. If the Hawks ain't good, ain't nobody going to them games, bro. Anybody going to them games. I went to a Hawks-Celtics playoff game. It's at lower level. $65. This was the Al Horford-led Kyle Korver Hawks. These were not a real championship team. Everybody knew.
That's surprising. Atlanta doesn't let me. What's the biggest thing in Atlanta? How big is? I mean, you're only down there one time asking an impossible question. Probably should have asked Ladd. Is Georgia football number one in Atlanta?
No, it's probably the Falcons.
Have you seen their games? They're road games a lot of times
at
home.
No, that's fair.
They played a road game in week one. They're playing a road game in week three, and that's their own stadium.
That's fair.
If Georgia was playing against, pick a team that travels well, Georgia was playing against Ohio State in the Georgia Dome. That's not in literal Atlanta. Georgia has to come from Athens. That stadium is going to be 80% Bulldogs. That is not the case at any Falcons home game.
Someone said, what about the Hamptons? Because you consider that to be white Atlanta.
That's rich people Atlanta.
So white Atlanta. Same thing. I don't know why we had to differentiate between the two. Seems very similar to me. All right, coming up at the top of the hour, we'll get back to talking about the Royals. The Royals are in trouble, trouble. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.